Let us pray. Creator God, we ask you to open our eyes that we may see the Christ in each other and so relate to each other as brothers and sisters. Open our eyes, O God, that we may hear your word and that word would influence our lives. Open our lips, that we may speak only that which is pleasing to you, words that build up each other. Open our hearts, O God, that we may experience your grace, and that grace to be sufficient for us. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I preach you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Our theme in the parish this year is living our core values. And every month, with the exception of Lent, we have been reflecting on one of these core values. And our core value for the month of May is communication. Last Sunday, we reflected on God speaking directly to Moses. God having to attract his attention so that God could speak to him and give him the task that God was to set before him. Today we reflect on another act of communication by God. God using an angel, a heavenly being, to communicate with one of God's people. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. It seems that that time was a busy time for the angel Gabriel because he appeared to Zechariah in the sanctuary of the temple some months before to tell Zechariah that his aging, barren wife was to have a child who was to be called John. And so 6 months after that event, the angel Gabriel was sent to Nazareth in Galilee to a virgin named Mary, who was engaged to Joseph of the house of David. The angel greeted Mary in a very strange way. The angel said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Now we are accustomed greeting each other in that way. When we go to pray, we say, "The Lord be with you." But in those days in which Mary lived, that was not a very common greeting. They didn't really understand that God was always with them. So that when Mary heard this greeting by the angel, she was confused. How could she be a favored one of God? How could be the God of her fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob be with her? And she would become more perplexed as the angel continued. "Do not be afraid, Mary," the angel said, "for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus." More confusion for Mary. For she knew that Jesus was the name of the Savior, the Messiah, the one who was to come. And so she would have to come to terms with the fact that the angel was telling her that she was to be the mother of the one who was promised by God. And so the angel continues. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The angel tried to pacify Mary. Do not be afraid. You see, that is the normal response that we give as human beings when we are faced with a strange or new situation. Our natural response is fear. But when we are approached by God, we should not be afraid, because fear cripples. Fear cripples the body, the mind, and the spirit. When we are afraid, we are not able to act. And if we act, we rarely, most often, do not respond in the right way. So that Mary was called not to be afraid. In fact, the angel desired her to respond with faith. Faith enables us to act in a way that we will succeed. And so Mary was called upon to remember all that she was taught about this God who called her people into a special covenant relationship. She was called to remember David, the great king, who united the 12 tribes of Israel into one strong nation. She was called to remember the promise of God given through the prophets through the ages, that a child would be born, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. And so Mary responds with faith, but trying to understand how all of this is going to take place. So she says to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin? How can I have a child when I have no relation with a man?" And as the angel has captured her attention, he describes how this miracle would take place. He says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." And then, of course, to put Mary at ease, to help her to understand that this miracle is possible, the angel tells her that her cousin Elizabeth, who is aging and who was considered to be barren, is having a child. And so the angel sums it up by saying, "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. And in response, Mary gives a response of faith. She submits herself to God's will. Surely, she would have had her own plans for her life. She was engaged to Joseph, and in about a year, they would have been married. And so Mary was probably looking forward to having a family of her own with Joseph and enjoying life in Nazareth. on the other side of the coin, if she was to be with child, a child, and she was not married, in her culture, she would face rejection. Rejection from family because she was engaged. Rejection by Joseph because he was not the father of her child. Rejection by her community because, of course, that was not the norm. But she agrees to do what God asked her to do. And so she responds, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word." Words of acceptance of God's will for her. Words that demonstrated that she was prepared to put aside her own plans and her own desire for her life and do what God asked her to do. Why would she do this? She would do it because she understood that God knew what she was capable of. God knew her faith. God knew the courage that she had and the strength of character that she had demonstrated as she grew up. And therefore, God would choose her to be the mother of the Savior of the world. A task that was not only difficult, but one that would be very painful for her. For Simeon in the temple would say, "A sword will pierce your soul as well." God chose Mary to be the mother of the Savior of the world. A task she accepted and carried out faithfully to the end. It was a difficult task. It was a seemingly impossible task. But Mary responded with faith. A faith that will say, "I don't really understand how this is going to happen, but I will do it because God asked me to do it. I am the Lord's servant," she would say. "Let it be to me according to your word." The question for us is, how do we respond when God asks us to do something difficult? In fact, in these times, our church is asking us to be intentional disciples and to make disciples of others, not by accident, but on purpose. How are we responding to that task? Do we even acknowledge that that is what we are called to do as Christians in today's world? How far are we prepared to go? To leave our homes every day, conscious that I am a disciple of Christ. I am called to live by the principles and precepts of Christ. And I am called to influence others so that they too could become disciples. Are we accepting that task as Mary did? Are we even acknowledging that it is necessary? You know, today we celebrate Mother's Day. And we should really take some time to think about those mothers like Mary who have experienced the death of a child. When we read the papers and we see a 14-year-old shot dead, we have recorded 17 women who have been killed for the year so far. In 24 hours, we've had 7 murders. Do we have a spare thought for the mothers in that situation? Because, you know, by the natural scheme of things, our children should be burying us. And so it is really unnatural, against nature, so that a mother should have to bury a child, especially if the child dies by violence or even by accident. And every time we read about or hear about another murder in our country, we have to take responsibility for some of that, because it means that we have not reached those persons who are perpetuating these murders. We have not reached those young people who are joining the gangs and feeling the power that they have when they put a gun in their hands. They have not yet heard the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel that we're supposed to know and we are supposed to share with them. And share it in such a way that we are able to convince them of the truth of Christ. So God is speaking to us through His church, through the Holy Spirit. And God is asking us to do this task, to go out there and live as disciples of Christ, and in so doing, convince others to do the same. Yes, it is not an easy task, because we are living in a society that is becoming more and more secular. We have more and more young people who are saying there is no God. There are groups of individuals who feel that whatever you do, once it feels good, that's all. And that is the reason why there is this breakdown of family life and this increasing violence and abuse in families. And God is calling us to that task. Go and make a difference. Yes, it is not easy, but it is what God requires of us today. God required Mary in her time to bring the Son of God, the Word made flesh, into the world. And it was not easy for Mary. She had to give birth to her child in a stable, surrounded by animals. A most unsanitary place to have a baby. She had to leave her home and go to Egypt so that he could be protected from Herod, so that he could survive his childhood. And so she had to live in a foreign land for a long time before she was allowed to return to her village in Nazareth. She had to, as we would say today, take a side as Jesus carried out his ministry. Remember the occasion when she came to seek him out and they said, "Your mother is outside asking for you." He said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? Those who believe in me." But she remained faithful. She was there at the foot of the cross. She would see him suffer on that journey to Calvary. And she would remain faithful because that was the task that God had given her. She did it faithfully to the end. God has given us a task. Are we prepared to say like Mary, "Yes, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you will." Understanding, of course, that yes, while the task seems daunting, nothing is impossible with God. That is the faith by which we must respond to God's call to make a difference in our homes, in our communities, in this nation. If Mary had said no, God would certainly have found someone else. But you know, if we say no, yes, God would have to look for others. But we would have missed the opportunity to make a difference, to turn around this country of ours, to bring it back to the place where neighbors greet each other every day and people care about others, so that one act of kindness does not have to make the news because it's so unique, but that we're able to carry on acts of kindness for each other every day. God is calling us to make a difference. And we have to so grow in our faith that we can respond like Mary. "I am the Lord's servant. I will do whatever you ask me to do. Because even the task, though the task seems impossible, I know that nothing is impossible with God." As one very popular theologian says, God is a God of the impossible. So if it is impossible and God is calling us to do it, it means that it can happen. And for our sakes, and for the sake of our children in this late place, we need it to happen. We need to convince people of the truth of Christ so that they can live by his principles and precepts and experience this one life that we have in all its fullness. The Lord be with you.